First, the United Nations predicts that by 2050, 2 out of every 3 people in the world are likely to be living in cities or other urban centers. And census data here at home suggests more and more Americans are moving to cities as well. Those trends can mean big challenges for small towns across the country, but there's also room for opportunity, according to our next guest. In a new piece, he lays out his ideas for not only attracting tourists to small towns, but also making them desirable places for people to live and work. Roger Zalnaritis is the economic development manager for the Southern Ute Indian Tribe, headquartered in Ignacio, Colorado. His recent piece for the website Governing is 3 Keys to the Economic Viability of Small Towns. Roger, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob. I appreciate it.
Well, before we get into the recommendations you lay out in your piece, can you talk about some of the economic challenges facing small towns these days?
Yeah, you know, in one respect, the economic challenges small towns are facing hasn't really changed in, say, 300 years since industrialization began. But we've really seen an acceleration in the last 30 years, maybe since the early 80s or so. And this decade is the first time in the United States that rural areas lost population, not just as a percentage, but where people were actually leaving rural areas after the recession, which was surprising because a lot of rural areas did well during the recession. I think what's happening and what you see going on is something of the effects of globalization. It's something of the effects of how more and more human capital doesn't need to be located anywhere near the natural capital that things get created out of. So one example I like to use, because I visited McDowell County, West Virginia, a few years ago, is the coal industry. You know, when you go into Welch, West Virginia, it's a town of 400 people, and there's 6- and 7-floor buildings downtown, because that's where the coal companies used to be headquartered in the 1920s. And those coal companies eventually became headquartered in Charleston, West Virginia, and then they got bought and moved to Pittsburgh. And now you look these days, and 4 of the 5 largest coal companies on Earth are in India, China, South Africa, and Australia, and the one that was in the United States went bankrupt. So the connection that you need to have as a coal company to a coal mine or where the coal reserves are located, they have nothing to do with each other anymore. It can go through industry after industry like that. And the challenge is, how do you keep those high-value jobs in rural areas? And I think it's become much more pronounced again in the last 30 years than we've seen in times past.
Now, this piece you've written, 3 Keys to the Economic Viability of Small Towns, who is your target audience? Who are you really reaching out to here?
I have to admit, I've started by just thinking about my area out here in Southwest Colorado and speaking to the business leaders and community leaders out here. But I think there's something applicable as well, because on the flip one hand, you know, if you're in the Rocky Mountains like we are, it's easy to talk about quality of life. But there are all sorts of quality of life positives no matter where you live in a rural community throughout the country. So there are things, so, you know, people say, wow, you got these great amenities, great vistas, greater. Every town's got something great about it. So I wanted to kind of broaden the message and say, how do you take advantage of those things that make your town unique, make it great in order to attract people and to grow your local economy?
And you give kind of a 3-part suggestion: stop, live, and work. And I want to take those one at a time. Let's talk about stopping, getting people to consider even just visiting your small town community, wherever it is. What kind of things should people be thinking about?
You know, when it comes to stopping in a town, it's what is what I call reactive versus proactive. So reactive is an example of you're driving across the country. It's 6:30 or 7 at night. You're exhausted. You just want to find a place to grab dinner and grab a room. If your town has a hotel and a restaurant, great, you might get that person. But that's reactive. That's answering to somebody's needs. Proactive means defining yourself based on some unique thing about your town. It could be, you know, back east, it could be a Civil War battle that took place. It could be a monument. It could be some historical architecture or a figure that grew up there. It could be a really unique event that takes place only in your town. But what is it that kind of is the draw that makes your town one of a kind that would then bring people in with a like-minded interest so they will deliberately go to your town rather than just happening to be there on their way to some other place? And that's where it began. But also, as you think about that, as you're defining that unique feature, you're starting to brand what your town is all about, too.
And I've watched in process, in some cases, towns try to come up with this brand identity, this what makes them unique and distinct. And it is harder to do than to say.
It is. And it's one thing is you've got to be authentic. And, you know, that's one of the opportunities small towns have and any community has. Is there's this search for authenticity this day among a lot of people. But it can't just be something you make up whole cloth. Well, let's become the world's leader in, I don't know, sheep herding. If there's no sheep out there, or you have no history in sheep, that's not going to do it for you. You've got to find something that's kind of it's something unique in your town. And like, I'll just pick on a town just to our south. It's Farmington, New Mexico. They've gotten a lot of bad press lately. They're known as an oil and gas community, and there's a lot of oil and gas down there. But they also have the Connie Mack World Series. So I've often thought, well, what if they could rebrand themselves around the Connie Mack Baseball League and being have a baseball town out in the Four Corners? So it has to be unique, and it can be a struggle, but it's something that should be fairly intuitive and perhaps controversial as well to residents. You know, they'll get it, they'll understand it, they'll see what that means for their town.
We're talking about how to rebuild viable economies in small towns around the country. Roger Zalnaritis is with us, economic development manager for the Southern Ute Indian Tribe. He wrote about this for Governing Magazine. Okay, Roger, stop is step one. Live is step two, creating a place that people want not just to visit but to live in. How do you do that?
Well, this is kind of the home message for me out here in Southwest Colorado, because we focus so much on the amenities out here. Let's build parks, let's build bike paths, let's build, you know, all this stuff to attract people in. But in the end, if you don't have great neighborhoods, you're not going to be able to keep people in your area. And that really begins with quality housing, that begins with safety. It's the same thing any of us ask when we move to a new town. You go to a real estate agent, you're looking to buy a house, and almost the first two questions out of your mouth when you go see a house is, okay, well, how are the schools and how safe is the neighborhood? So you start with those basics. Okay, let's make sure our neighborhoods are attractive and have, you know, good people living in them as well. Let's make sure the neighborhoods are safe. And that means working with your police force and working with your schools in order to build up those quality neighborhoods. A lot of rural areas are seeing population decline. And so between expensive housing you see in some places and declining areas, you know, blight, I think, is the more important issue. So when you have vacated houses, abandoned lots, what are you doing to address that and get rid of that problem that you have in your community? And that's what I wanted to emphasize in that part, is start with the basics. Start with your infrastructure, your schools, your safety, then build up toward those things that really start, you know, being the wow factor that everybody's after these days, whether it's an arts district or your parks or something else like that.
And so for those people who are going to live there, that could be, you know, keeping the younger people there. It could be bringing retirees in, say, if it's a nice place to retire to. But whatever the community is, you want to make it a decent place to live.
Right. Now you've got if you do that, you've got your identity. Now you've got a decent place to live for those young people or those retirees or whoever happens to be moving there. And you're well on your way to being able to kind of either stop your decline or continue your growth, one of the two.
And then step three, stop, live, and then work.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the work, I kind of wanted to put that last because, again, if you're focusing work first, basically what you're doing is building a business park. You're not building a town. The other issue is that a lot of people now, jobs are becoming much more mobile. And that's one of the, although everything's moving into big cities and is moving across the ocean and everything, more and more people have the option to live wherever they want to live. Either because they're home-based workers, so they're just working from home and they just need a good internet connection, or it's because they work for themselves or sole proprietors and they can do what they want where they want. And those folks they're some of the fastest growing segments in the national economy right now. And they're looking for more of the authenticity of something that reaches into their values as to what they're going to want to live near. Or live in, I should say, as well. So that's why you start with that brand identity and those quality neighborhoods, because if somebody comes and they like what your community is about and it resonates with them and they see good neighborhoods and they can take their job with them, they're going to be a lot more likely to bring it to your town than just by chance stopping there. And I would also emphasize that a lot of these people then do go on to create companies. It's not, well, I should say some of them go on to create companies, but they're eventually could be your employers in town as well. So, you know, if you start with that identity that attracts people, you will have the jobs that follow them.
Now, here in Wisconsin and around the country, as we said at the outset, there is concern about, you know, population going down in small towns, economic decline. In our last few moments, do you see bright spots? Do you see people turning this trend around?
You know, there are a lot of bright spots out there. And one of the interesting things, I found this at the University of Minnesota's Extension Office. They did a study called Rural Brain Gain. And they were able to use census demographics to figure out where people between the ages of 25 and 40, or 30 and 40, I should say, were moving within Minnesota out to rural areas. And so, you know, one of the highlights they said is people that were moving to rural areas tended to do so for a simpler life, safety and security, affordable housing, outdoor recreation, and quality schools. were a lot of the findings they had. But the fact is, a lot of communities are starting to attract people as they're getting married or as they're starting to think about, you know, let's have kids, or maybe we're not going to have kids, but we still want to live in a kind of family-friendly place. They look either to the exurbs or they tend to look more toward hometowns or small towns where they're from or where they'd like to live and raise a family. So the towns that can be attractive to those, I'd say not the 20-year-olds, the 20 to 25-year-olds, they tend to want that big city, bright lights, atmosphere for a while. But as they're starting, as people are starting to settle down into their 30s, they're starting to think more of, okay, you know, downtown mega city is not what I want to call home anymore. I want to call home someplace that has that community feel.
And we'll leave it there. Roger, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a good day.
You too. That's Roger Zalnaritis, Economic Development Manager for the Southern Ute Indian Tribe, talking about small town economies.